Maybe you can remember a specific situation or season where you felt disoriented, like you didn't fit in, like you didn't belong. Perhaps you were in a new job or in a new school, or even in a familiar place that no longer felt the same. That sense of being out of place can leave us feeling unsettled, unsure of where you stand. It's a lot like driving in a thick fog or in a whiteout snowstorm. Some of you may have experienced a little of that yesterday afternoon. You know, you're driving down the road and you're gripping the steering wheel tightly. Your eyes are straining to see ahead, and the road feels uncertain at times. And at times you wonder, like, am I still on the road? Where is the road? And what you really want, what you're really longing for is something familiar. Maybe you see a glimpse of the painted lines or the glow of some taillights ahead of you to find and help reorient yourself to where you are, where you're going. I mean, we live in a time right now of growing turmoil and uncertainty. Think back to the COVID virus and all that resulted from that. It's exactly 5 years ago this week since mandates in Saskatchewan were instituted. Just mentioning that perhaps brings up a lot of unsettling emotions and memories. We almost wince at the thought of that. Now we have a trade war going on with more tariff threats every week. Job security looks pretty shaky. And our financial pressures weigh heavily. Political divisions run deep, but increasingly very close to the surface. I mean, you just have to bring up a political issue in a conversation, and you'll find that out really fast. It seems like the ground beneath us is constantly shifting. It's moving, and in a world like this, it's easy to become anxious, to feel unsettled and disoriented. Today, we're starting a new sermon series in 1 Peter. And Peter's letter is meant to be that kind of a guide that we need in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of this uncertainty that's going on. It's a steady hand on the wheel, if you will, pointing them and us back to what is true. However, Peter doesn't start with fear or with despair. He begins with a reminder of our true identity and hope. And so I appreciated the songs that the Holy Spirit led Dave to pick, because as I listened to those songs and reflected on the words, a lot of what they were saying was pointing us back to our hope, our identity in who we have and the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. When life feels off course, our identity in Christ is the line that keeps us on track, that keeps us on the right road. Right from the opening lines, Peter anchors his readers in the truth that, in that specific truth. Listen to how he begins in 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So Peter is addressing a group of people, both Jewish and Gentile. And these are their followers of Jesus, and they're being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Now, they were living in as minorities being persecuted in various provinces, Roman provinces around Asia Minor, what today we know as Turkey. And Peter calls these followers of Jesus exiles of the dispersion. Now, the history of the exiles goes back to the Old Testament, when Israel was led into exile, taken from their homes in Judea and Jerusalem, and they were spread out all along the ancient Mediterranean world. They were the people of the dispersion, dispersed throughout. Now, the word exiles has a historical connection to the identity of God's people when they were in exile, when we see it in the Old Testament. Now, it's easy to understand that these elect exiles of the dispersion would feel very alone, very disoriented. There is a lack of unfamiliarity with the culture around them, with the traditions, and even the religious gods that these people worshipped were very unfamiliar. And often their family and friends weren't in close proximity either, so they felt extremely alone and extremely disoriented. And so Peter opens his letter by drawing attention to a profound tension. They are exiles, these followers of Jesus are exiles in the eyes of the world. Yet they are chosen and beloved in the eyes of God. This isn't a contradiction, but a core reality of the Christian life. As God's people, they live as strangers in a world that doesn't understand or even accept them. That's hard. When you're living in a place, and maybe you've experienced that in your own life, you're living in your, whether it's in your workplace, even in your family or at a school, where people just don't accept you. They don't understand you, and maybe they don't even want to understand you. But their true identity, our true identity, is anchored in God's sovereign choice and grace. So let's see how Peter frames this tension. So Peter begins with a grounding truth to encourage them. And he says this, that you are God's chosen people. That's huge. Yes, they were outsiders, but they were also chosen. Sure, their life was unsettled. Their life was disorienting. But they had a living hope anchoring them, a new identity and purpose that could never be taken away from them, regardless of the situation that happened all around them. Right from the start, Peter reorients these believers around their identity. He doesn't just say they're scattered and struggling, and so be it. He calls them elect exiles. Elect exiles. That's a powerful combination. Yes, they were strangers in the world, but they are chosen by God, familiar in his family. Not strangers in his family. And that's just as true for us today. As followers of Jesus, we're going to feel like outsiders a lot of times. I was at the gym on Friday afternoon, Friday morning. And it didn't take very long, and some people were having a conversation that involved some things that they're not a part of my world. And very quickly, I was left out of that conversation. Very quickly, I felt a bit like an outsider. Our values, our priorities, and beliefs will often clash with the culture around us. And maybe even more so in the culture and the uncertainty that's all around us right now. And now, I think today, maybe if he hasn't already, today at some point, they're going to call an election. What does that mean for us? Maybe you've experienced that kind of tension at work or in your school or even within your own family. It can feel really isolating. And for most of the time, most of us people, we do not like to feel that alone, that isolated, that disoriented in this world. But Peter reminds them that they are being set apart, that it isn't a punishment. Rather, it's a calling. When life feels disoriented, orienting, we need to anchor ourselves in the same truth Peter gave his readers. You, as a follower of Jesus, are chosen. You belong to God. We belong to God. Our hope isn't found in being accepted by the world around us, but in the one who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. No matter where you find yourself, whether you feel scattered, overlooked, or out of place, your identity today and always, your identity is secure in Christ. Isn't that a powerful truth for us as a follower of Jesus? I love that. I love that. As we journey through 1 Peter, my prayer is that we may be reoriented around that hope, that truth, finding stability, not in the acceptance of the world, not in because we have all of the politics and the stuff that's going on, not because we have it all figured out, not because we have it in control, but in the grace and calling of God, who is actually in control. And this is where we need to pause a little bit. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to those he calls elect exiles. Now, here's something I want you to notice. I want you to notice that elect exiles isn't just a personal or individual label. It's a communal one. As followers of Jesus, we're not alone. As followers of Jesus, Peter's audience was not alone. They and us belong to a larger family, a chosen people. Peter's words echo God's promise to Israel in the Old Testament. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6. And just like that, God's calling on his people hasn't changed. Whether in the Old Testament or the New, his people are set apart for his purposes. But here's the difference. These believers, scattered as they were, weren't just part of a physical nation anymore. They were part of a spiritual nation, a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, united in Christ. This wasn't about race or geography. It was about belonging to God. And that truth changed everything. Imagine you're visiting in a foreign land and you don't speak the language, you don't know anything about the culture, nothing is familiar. And it's really easy to feel disconnected. It's really easy to feel disoriented in the situation. But then suddenly somebody calls your name from across wherever you are and recognizes you and welcomes you. And suddenly, you're not just a stranger. Suddenly you feel a connection. Suddenly you belong. And that's what Peter's telling these believers. Yes, you are living as exiles, but you are chosen and you are known and you are loved by God. That's what grounds them in their uncertainty. That's what grounds them when they're feeling disoriented. They don't need to fit in with the world because they belong to the family of God. And it is incredible how many times that we need to be reminded of that truth for ourselves when we are walking in uncertainty, because there are times, especially when we're going through what our world is going through now, where we feel disoriented. It feels like the world is falling apart. How can it continue for one more day? We need to just come back to the point of whose we are. Who do we belong to? Reorient yourself into the kingdom where we do belong. And in verse 2, Peter explains that their election is a beautiful work of the Trinity. It's intentional. It's complete and ongoing. First Peter 2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The Father chose them. Look at the Trinity in here. The Father chose them before the foundation of the world. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is actively working in them, setting them apart and making them holy, ongoing. And Jesus' blood has cleansed them and us, securing our identity as God's own children, chosen children. This isn't just a personal reality. It's a communal one. God is shaping his people, the church, through this divine work. Yeah, as individuals, we respond to his calling. But we're always part of a greater story because we are God's people. Sometimes I think we forget that. So what does it mean when God's people worship together? What does it mean when God's people pray together? We are God's chosen people. And so in the midst of all their disorientation, these believers needed to know that they were not abandoned. Today, we need to know that we are not abandoned. We're not just individuals floating in a sea of confusion. No, we are chosen, loved, and set apart for a purpose. And that purpose isn't to fit in, isn't to know and understand everything. It's to stand out. It's to stand out of witnesses of God's grace. When life feels off course, our identity in Christ is the line that keeps us on track. Remember that. So why does this matter for those believers and for us today? In a disorienting world, this truth will reorient us. It's like driving in that snowstorm or in that thick, dense fog, and suddenly you see the lines on the highway and everything becomes clear, or you see the lights ahead of you and you feel reoriented again. Everything is familiar. Everything is back on track. One of the stories, this story is my personal story of probably when I felt the most disoriented that I have ever felt. Years ago when Pat and I were in China, I consider us young then, 36 years old. We went to this strange country, this foreign country, and within 24 hours of landing in China, they gave us a baby. And this baby started crying, but this is where we became parents for the first time in our lives. This is really disoriented. My mom and dad aren't there. Pat's mom and dad aren't there. Our friends, our family aren't there. And we're given this baby. And this baby starts crying. And there's a few people that understand English, but not many. And so the baby starts crying. And I hand the baby back. And the caregiver, he's like, and she stops crying. And I'm like, whew, this is perfect. But then the adoption worker came and gave me the baby back to me, and it's like, no. And of course, the language was a barrier, and she just gestures, no. You know, you keep the baby. Yeah, she's crying, yeah? Deal with it. You're the parent. I was panicked. There we were. In a foreign country. New parents. Overwhelmed because we didn't have family and friends around. Everything was unfamiliar. Parenting, the language, the food, and how you eat the food. Apparently you eat the food with sticks. I don't know how that works. Maybe that's what I should do. It would help me be skinnier. It's a diet plan. So we would go into a restaurant and I would ask for a fork. In the one restaurant they said, well, we have three, but they're being used. We'll try and find them for you. Everything was different. Everything was unfamiliar. Communicating was so hard. And don't get me wrong, our time there was one of the most amazing experiences of the world. And yes, we became parents for the first time. It was absolutely amazing, but we felt completely disoriented. And so as the time in our 2 weeks neared the end, we were in Beijing. Pat and I were exhausted. We were homesick, both of us in tears that last day or two. We just wanted to go home. And it felt like everything was pressing in. And so to pass the time, we found a mall. And we spotted the most unusual thing in this mall as we were just leaning over the railing, we noticed a skating rink. And Pat noticed something really familiar as we stood there staring, something comforting. And so we hurried down to that lower level and we ordered a couple of the most amazing cold cut subs from Subway I have ever tasted in. I'll never forget the first bite into the familiar bread with the familiar pepper popping in my mouth. The onions, the familiar cold cuts from home. It was a taste of home. In a moment, something shifted. We felt reoriented. We felt grounded. We felt like we could breathe again. That simple day, that simple meal, turned our hardest day into one of the best. In the same way, when your life feels disoriented, when the world tries to pull us in different directions, we have something greater that can anchor us. In these days that we're living in, it literally can feel like the earth beneath us is falling away. Rising tariffs, political tensions, and not to mention an upcoming election. There's a lot that can leave us feeling unsettled, even anxious. Our younger generations face added pressures navigating a culture that questions identity and distorts God's design, especially around gender and sexuality. And as a church, we're not immune to these challenges, but in moments like these, we need to remember we have something far greater to anchor us. As God's people, we do not drift aimlessly, trying to find our place in a culture that often pulls us and are trying to pull us away from God. We belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. He's called us to live differently, to reflect his character and bear his witness to his grace. Yeah, we're going to feel out of place at times. And the pressure to conform is real. But our identity is not in fitting into this world. Having all of the politics figured out, the tariffs figured out, and how to do all of those things. It's rooted in the unshakable reality that you are chosen and loved by God. Living with purpose and hope. Remember, our stability, my stability, your stability, does not come from political outcomes. Doesn't come from economic security or cultural acceptance. It really, really does come from knowing who we are in Christ. That truth reorients us even when life feels disoriented and disorienting. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live as exiles. You and I are exiles in this world. Aliens, strangers, set apart, sanctified, obedient to Him. In that calling, we find the strength to press on, no matter how uncertain the days are ahead. When life feels off course, our identity in Christ is the line that keeps us on track. May we, like Peter's audience, be reoriented around this hope, finding stability, not in blending in, but in Christ. So what do we do with that truth? How do we live as God's chosen people in a disorienting world? Here's the good news, church. Our stability isn't found in the economy or politics, or even in our ability to control our circumstances. It is found alone and only in Jesus. And as God's chosen people, we are called to live differently, to respond to uncertainty with faith, to meet anxiety with trust, and to shine as people of hope when the world feels dark. I think that's one of the biggest pieces that we need to be today as a church, is that we need to be the anchor for those people who do not have the hope that we have. And when they're living in this same uncertain world that we are, but we are anchored to Christ, we need to point them to Christ in the hope that we have. That's our job. That's our role. That's our mission. So what do we do this week? What can we do specifically this week? Again, anchor yourself in God's promises. When the headlines stir fear, turn to God's word and pray instead. Read passages like 1 Peter chapter 1. Read Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Psalm 46, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. These are all things to encourage us where we stand in our security and who we are as followers of Jesus, and how Jesus, God Almighty, is in control of all things. Reminded that God is aware of what's going on. He has not abandoned us, even though things in this world seem chaotic. Pray daily for peace, wisdom in your decisions, and trust in His provision. Lift up your leaders. Lift up your communities. Those directly impacted by economic pressure. This might mean less, little, or no news feeds, regardless of your trusted sources. Or maybe it's no Facebook or Coffee Row, where that is the daily discussion, and we are very easily drawn into the despair of those conversations. Instead, fill your mind with what steadies your heart. Go to the Word, fellowship with brothers. And then, as I mentioned earlier, live as light in the darkness. So many people, it's not just us as the church that are anxious about what's happening in the world. Be that calming presence, speaking words of hope to help those who are struggling. What a time to be able to share the good news of Jesus, the hope that we have, that we don't have to fall apart in these times, but we can share that with others. So this week, as no doubt pressures will continue to mount, uncertainties swirl, hold tightly to the truth that you belong to God. You are chosen, loved, and secure in His hands. That truth reorients us and gives us the stability that we need to keep moving forward day by day, no matter what comes our way. Church, here's the blessing that I wrote for you last night. I want to leave you with this benediction blessing as we go from here. Close your eyes. May the God of all grace, who has called you and made you his own, Anchor your heart in his unshakable promises. As you walk through an uncertain world, may his peace steady you, his spirit strengthen you, and his hope sustain you. Go now, knowing that you are chosen, that you are loved, that you are secure in Christ, and may his grace and peace be multiplied to you now and forever. Amen. Amen.